It's a privilege not just to stand up here and to be able to discuss the Word of God with you, but it was such a privilege to be there singing with you those words. A preacher once said, "It's so nice to get up to the pulpit and have half of the sermon already preached to you." The words that you've been singing this morning, I hope you've been singing them with delight in your heart at the truth that there is, and delight with the fact that you're standing beside all of these men and women who are singing the same thing, because they all believe this. They all believe that Jesus has no equal, no rival. They believe in a holy God. They believe in the worthy one that we can give our life to and our breath to. And it's a joy to be able to do that. And it won't be a surprise to you to know that you can't do this everywhere in the world. You go to many places, you won't find as many people who would be able to stand with you and sing those same words. Two of the countries that were mentioned this morning, Indonesia and Pakistan, are both Muslim countries. And while they recognize the name of Jesus as one of their prophets, they follow the religion of Islam. And when you visit those countries, you see their religion everywhere. It's in the language that they speak, the phrases that they use. It's on TV. It's on the radio. It's in the way that they dress. The government has even made special laws. In Pakistan, when you're born, your religion is marked on your birth certificate. In Indonesia, by law, you have to belong to one of six religious groups. Now, contrast that with Canada. There was a poll done a few years ago, and in that poll, 80% of Canadians said that they believe in a personal God. Isn't that amazing? Less than 10% go to a regular worship service, however. And a large percentage of Canada claims that they have no religion whatsoever. In fact, there's even laws here in Canada separating religion from government and from social life. In both of those countries, religious Indonesia and Pakistan, irreligious Canada, there's one question that I could get asked, one question that could come up in both of those places. Why are you Christians so intent on pushing your religion on everyone else? If the people in Pakistan and Indonesia have their own religion, and if the people in Canada are supposedly happy without their religion, what gives you the right to want to make them change into something else? Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. You probably know that verse off by heart by now, John 14, verse 6. Jesus is in the upper room. He's talking with his disciples just before the cross and the resurrection, the events of that weekend. And as part of his sermon to them, as part of his talk with them, he says this beautiful verse, verse 6 of chapter 14. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the easy answer of why we try to evangelize all around the world is obvious. We believe that there is a way, we can know the truth, and that there is life available. Isn't it an amazing thing when you consider how holy and wonderful God is and who we are? This is available. It's here. So in a world that seems to have really lost its way, in a world where disinformation is so common, people are arguing about which news sites to follow. In a world where loneliness and hopelessness are rampant, Jesus offers the way, the truth, and the life. So, end of the sermon? We can go home early? No, because the question really is, why this way? Why this truth? Why this life? Why are we trying to convert people to our religion? Isn't that arrogant and oppressive and, dare I say the word, exclusive? Isn't one of our basic Canadian principles that of inclusion? Everyone is welcome? Well, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. You see, in one way, the Church of God around this planet is the most inclusive body on earth. Everyone is welcome. Thousands of ethnic groups and languages are already part of the kingdom of God. Representatives from all those people worshiping God, all ages, men and women. Absolutely anyone who is a sinner is welcome to come in through the way, the truth, and the life. But all come in through that one way. Pastor Tim Keller in New York once said that actually we Christians are the most inclusive exclusionists in the world. All you have to do to get into the way is admit that you're a sinner and commit your life to following the way. That's inclusion. Everybody's welcome. The point is not to keep people out with the gospel. The point is to welcome everyone in to the kingdom. So we have a way open. We have a truth expressed, and we have a life offered to us. The problem that most people have with that concept is the little word, the. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what are the implications of that? If he is the way, there are no others. If he is the truth, then all truth is measured against his standard. And if he is the life, then without that, you're dead. That's it. In case Jesus wasn't clear enough in that first sentence, he then says this, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that doesn't sit well with people who already have a religion or people who don't want a religion. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. But other people on earth have their own system of salvation. And if they've already got a system of salvation, why do we insist that they have to consider ours and come into this way, this truth, and this life? So the first part of my reasoning is going to be with the bad news of the gospel. We'll start with that and we'll get to the good news of the gospel. The bad news is this, the other ways don't work. Most of my Muslim friends believe that if their good works outweigh their bad works, then on the day of judgment, Allah will allow them in. So they pray 5 times a day. They fast during this month of Ramadan going on right now from sunup to sundown. They give a portion of their income. They try to go on the pilgrimage to Mecca. There's other things, but generally you try and add all of these up and gain merit in heaven. Surprisingly, it's the way a lot of people in the West, including some Christians, think that it works as well. You make a deal with God. You make a contract with God. You work hard for him, and he gives you all of the blessings. All right? Except it doesn't work that way. You can try to be good, but that's not going to get you into heaven. Because we're humans, every time we're confronted with a set of laws, the first thing we do is look for loopholes. How do I get around this? How do I get out of this? How can I accomplish this without actually doing all of the work that's involved in it? And some Muslims who feel that they're just not doing enough for that day of judgment would say that maybe there's some really, really good works you can do, which are so big that they'll outweigh a lot of the bad works that I know I'm also doing. Maybe there's some especially kind gift that I could give to a really poor and needy person, and Allah would say, that's a big one. During one of the 2 festivals that Muslims have during the year, an animal is sacrificed. And the bigger the animal, the better. Because on the day of judgment, that animal, hide, hair, hoofs, and all, is going to come back to life, and Allah will place it on the good side of the scale. And that's going to outweigh a lot of those bad works that you did in your life. And we can maybe laugh at that and say, no, God doesn't work that way. But it's surprising, again, how many Westerners, including some Christians, would think that if I just go to church on Sunday morning, I can live my life the way I want for the rest of the week, because that one good work outweighs all the rest of the bad. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry to disappoint you if that was what you've got in mind. Another way of getting around the obligation of fulfilling all those laws is to die well. And so there are holy places on earth in which if you die there, you will go straight to heaven. If you die during the month of Ramadan, a lot of my friends believe they go straight to heaven. And then, of course, we know the horrible news that happens over and over again of suicide bombers who've been taught that one way to get to paradise is to die in the service of Allah, and your family will be blessed and you will be in paradise. Another group of Muslims are more of a more mystical bent, and they feel that, okay, they can't get enough good works done for that day of judgment. So what they'll do is they'll call on really righteous Muslims of the past, people who obviously have way more merit than they know what to do with. So you pray to them, these saints, and they will give some of their merit to you and allow you access into Allah's presence. Again, that sounds an awful lot like some branches of Christianity, trying to get access into heaven. One Muslim shared with me that heaven has 1,000 doors and windows. Access into heaven can be by many different ways, but Jesus says there's only one way to get into the presence of the Father. Every system of religion on earth depends on trying. Trying. And according to God, trying doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try to obey the law. We follow the Ten Commandments. We add up our good works. We say we're not as bad as somebody else. And maybe I'm good enough that God will actually accept me into heaven. But actually, that's the most exclusive teaching that you can imagine. The Bible makes it very, very clear that every human is a sinner, that we can't get into the presence of God by ourselves. Not one. Everyone is excluded. The standard for gaining a relationship with God is 100% righteousness, holiness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Trying doesn't get us into heaven. Add to that the fact that a set of laws doesn't give you an awful lot of comfort when you're grieving. A set of laws don't forgive your sins. They just tell you when you have sinned. 1,000 windows and doors to get into heaven. Jesus said there's only one door. Earlier in John 10, he had said that he is actually the gate to get into the presence of God. Imagine you were invited over to somebody's mansion for a meal, for a big party. You're going to be the guest of honor when you get there. Boy, it's going to be great. And as you walk up the driveway, you see the host and the hostess standing in the door, ready to welcome you in. And you sneak off through the bushes and you go to a basement window and try to get in that way. What? He's at the door. He's ready for you. He's ready to welcome you. And you're trying to make your own way in, other than the way that he has entered, has made for us? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. So that's the bad news of the gospel. Trying doesn't get us into heaven. So the positive way of sharing this truth is Jesus offers us an alternative to trying. My colleague and I were in Pakistan. We had gone off to a village to give a Bible study to a group of people that had asked us to come. And before we could get the Bible study started, a man at the back was standing and he said, "What religion are you pushing?" Which, I don't know if you've had that experience in your Bible studies, but it doesn't start off great if you hear that. Before I could say anything, my colleague answered him and said, "We're not pushing any religion. We're here to talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you interested in knowing?" The guy says, "Yeah." Sat down. Okay, so may that happen in your Bible studies. Jesus said all are welcome to come in and meet him. On the basis of his sacrificial death on the cross, he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He himself is the way. He wants to be our way to the Father, someone to walk with us, live inside of us. Jesus said no one comes to the Father except through him. But the other way of saying that is everyone who comes to him can get to the Father. That's the good news. John 14:6, again, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. In dying on the cross and rising again from the dead, Jesus paid the price for our sin. He took the punishment for our sin. And in return, as we sang this morning, we get to accept that gift and be on that way, building our life on him, abiding in him, in the vine. Jesus created the way on the cross, but it's so much more than that. This is how we live. This is what we base our decisions on. This is our GPS in life. This is our companion on the way. Jesus' disciples asked him what the way was to the Father, and Jesus said, he himself is the way. Not a book, not a map, but a real live person who would never leave us but live inside of us and be the way. One of my favorite movies is the old black and white version of The Christmas Carol of Ebenezer Scrooge, whose three ghosts come to him and try to get him to repent and change his life. And as the ghost of Christmas past is standing at the window and saying, come fly with me, Ebenezer Scrooge says one of those immortal lines. He says, but I am mortal and liable to fall. And the ghost of Christmas past says, touch my robe and you will be sustained in more than this. You ever feel mortal? Ever feel like you're liable to fall? Grab Jesus. Because the way, the truth, and life is going to sustain you through all of that. Through all of that. Jesus also said he's the truth, which is really relevant nowadays when we have something called alternative facts. We have people who say, I prefer the truthiness of my belief to the truthiness of your belief. What? Okay. Or everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Okay. Or nobody can know all of the truth, so you shouldn't complain, you shouldn't claim to have the truth. Okay, that's the mess that you're walking into. But you're walking into it with Jesus, who says, I am the truth. We had a Bible study in Pakistan. A group of young men would get together and we would discuss different spiritual topics. And there were Muslims, there were Hindus, there were communists all together in this group. And one night we decided we're going to talk about truth. And so we started off with a statement that God is true. And everybody in the group, Muslims, Hindus, communists, everybody said, yeah, yes. Good. Yeah, we agree with that. That's good. God expects his people to be truthful. A little more hesitation. Yes. God expects his people to be truthful. We should tell the truth all the time. And the whole group burst out laughing. They said, Rod. God knows we can't tell the truth all the time. We have to lie. And he forgives us because he knows we had to lie. Ow. Sometimes in Pakistan, we felt like we were swimming in a sea of deceit and dishonesty because everybody believed that. You didn't have to tell the truth. Allah would forgive you because you had to lie. And Jesus comes to a situation like that and he says, I am the truth. Measure all of your statements and your decisions and your thoughts by me. I'm the reality. I'm the measuring line. I'm the cornerstone, the plumb line for fighting out what is right and wrong in this world. He didn't say, I speak the truth, because then we would just have commands. And he didn't say that he's just giving us more truth to read about. He said he is the truth. We're supposed to be looking at him. We're supposed to be observing his life and then making our life like his, because he's the standard. He's the truth. One Bible scholar wrote this: Jesus is the truth, the authoritative representative and revealer of God. He hears what God says and obeys what God tells him to do. He discloses God exhaustively, unlike anyone else can, because he has seen God. The truth alone as a body of knowledge isn't enough. I love science. I love finding out all about this wonderful world that we live in. And I'm so grateful to science for all the things that it has invented so that we can enjoy this world that God has given to us. But science as a body of data cannot tell you why you are here on this earth. It can't give you a purpose. It can't forgive your sins. And it cannot tell you what's going to happen to you after you die. So science is great, but we need more truth than that. We need Jesus, the truth, coming into our world. Another writer said, Jesus' solution to perplexity is not a recipe, but a relationship with him. Isn't that great? That should go on t-shirts, you know? Not a recipe, but a relationship. See what people think of that. Jesus also said that he is the life. When we were spiritually dead, we met Jesus and we got this life from him. It's not like some of the world's philosophies would tell us that every human has a spark of eternal goodness in them and it just has to be blown into flame. Now you were dead, okay? It's not that every human is essentially good and just has to be educated. No, you were dead. And into that, Jesus comes and says, I bring you life. It's not a, life isn't something that God's going to give us at the end. Life is something that happens right now with the way and the truth, the life. These things, just as we sung, are things that start now and help us to abide in that vine. That's why we send missionaries around the world. That's why we tell the gospel to people here in Three Hills in Alberta. So where does all of this leave us today? And I think you know what's coming. Islam is coming to Canada. In fact, Islam is already here. Some Christians are afraid of this, and some teachers are trying to stir up fear about this whole thing. But look at it this way. God is bringing thousands of people from all these Muslim countries here to Canada, where they speak English, they have access to Christianity, and they get to meet you. Somebody that knows the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't God good in providing that? You've got Muslims and Hindus living here. You've got New Age people living here. You've got people who think they have a relationship with God because their mom and dad were believers, but they don't have a relationship themselves. You've got people that used to go to church, but don't anymore. And you've got people that don't have a clue, and they're trying to get their spiritual direction from Oprah and Dr. Phil. Hope I don't get in trouble for that one from anyone. You may even have nice neighbors, good people. And you think, do they need to know the way, the truth, and the life? So I'll give you the example of somebody named Cornelius in the book of Acts. Cornelius was, according to the Bible, a God-fearing, devout man. He and all his family, he gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. Kind of guy you'd like to have living next door to you. Maybe even have him in your church. To that person, God said, go get Peter so that Peter can come and tell you about salvation. Because this good person, Cornelius, needed to get saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for good people, bad people, everyone you know, the way, the truth, and the life. And you have this wonderful truth to tell to others. When I was in Pakistan once, I was traveling in a taxi, and we were going up a very twisty, turny mountain road. And if you've ever been in countries like that, you know that the taxi drivers don't obey any of the laws of physics as they're driving up these roads. And it was appropriate that we actually passed a graveyard on the way. And as he looks up in his graveyard, he sees some of the graves are really, really well decorated. And so he said to me, those must be the graves of Vali. Now, Vali in Islam, in Pakistan, are people who have gone through so many stages of sanctification that they are really close to God. They're tight with God. They have access to God, and they can tell others about access to God. So as is often the case, my mouth started talking before my brain started working, and I said to the driver, oh, I'm a Vali. And he went, which is not a great thing to do when you're driving a taxi on a twisty, turny country road. But he got it under control, and we kept talking about this, and he kept looking at me, but I am sure he never believed that I'm a Vali. But the word in our language in Pakistan for adoption is literally taken into the lap. And if I've been adopted by God, how much closer can I get to God the Father? I've got access to God through the way, the truth, and the life. I can tell others about access to God through the way, the truth, and the life that is already within me. I am a child of God. I have the way, the truth, and the life, and I can tell others that no one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus. That's why we do what we do. But here in Canada, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, here in Canada, it's hard. So how do we get conversations going with people to tell them about this way, this truth, and this life? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. A friend of mine in Pakistan is a pastor, and he was traveling on a train coming back from a conference, and as is usual, the men in the car started asking each other, well, what is it that you do? What work do you do? And the pastor said, the thought came to me and popped out of my mouth, I pray for people. And immediately the other guy said, oh, okay, well, could you pray for my blah, 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 and he started listing all of these things. Didn't even bother asking the guy what religion he was. This is a man who prays, please pray for me. Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, they all know the word prayer. They all value the word prayer. And when you say to a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Sikh, may I pray for you? They're all happy for that, even if you're going to be doing it in the name of Jesus. In fact, most of them, they might be surprised, but most of them will be delighted that you will pray for them right then and there. And then come back a week later and say, I prayed for you. So what happened? How's it going? What's happening in your life? Most people know what prayer is, even here in Canada. Even the religion of sports has prayer in it. Did you know that? Every time somebody gets hurt and you watch the sportscasters and they're talking about, our prayers go out to them. Prayers to who? Or to what? I don't know what prayers they've got in mind, but they at least understand the concept that somehow there's value in prayer. So can you say to people here in Canada as a way of getting things started, yeah, that's a really tough thing that you're going through there. Yeah, thanks for sharing with me the frustration that you've got. Can I pray for you? And then pray for them. And then go back and ask them later, how did it go? We live our life in this world that's lost, doesn't know where truth is, and is really, really fascinated with death. And you get to bring the way, the truth, and the life into that world. There's a song back in the 80s by a group called Newsboys. This is going to date me, but the song is called Shine. Yes. Do you remember the chorus? Shine. Make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine. Let it shine before all men. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. That's our job. That's our joy to be able to do that. Remember that word, Vali? Take that one with you. thinking of yourself as a vali, somebody that has access to God and can show others the way, the truth, and the life. As you send out missionaries, as you share the gospel with your neighbors, as you pray for people, remember the certainty of what Jesus said to us. We have the way, the truth, and the life. We don't deserve it, but we love it, and we want to share it. If you don't know Jesus in the way that I've been describing, as the person who is your way, your truth, and your life, and you want to know more about that, please come up to the front after the service. There are people here who are ready to pray with you, talk with you, and help you find those answers. If you're here this morning and you do know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, then my prayer is that this week you get the joy and the opportunity of being able to shine, being able to show people what that means to have the way, the truth, and the life inside of you for God's glory and your good. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.